I have
current geek.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Current Geek. This is Current Geek, and you're welcome to it, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars, Geeks of the World, and you, to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Tom Merritt.
I got the gavel again.
You do.
Bring the proceedings to order.
Keep that thing handy, man, because feedback from last week was everyone likes the gavel.
People are surprisingly pro-gavel.
Mm-hmm. Pro-gavel. Man. Vote gavel 2014.
Gavel McLeod is what I named it.
Nicely done. We have guests today. Super stoked to introduce them. Let's start with an old friend, Kristen Brandt from the Manic Mommies at themanicmommies.com or just manicmommies.com. Find it on iTunes. She is a huge nerd and an old friend of the network. Hello, Kristen. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on. It's been too long since we've done some sort of something like this.
It you know, and I have to say, I love a good podcast where I'm not in charge.
Right. You can sit.
And say stuff, and then I'm done.
Judge Merritt takes umbrage with the...
No, I was allowing it.
Oh, you're allowing it. You're going to allow this. Okay, great.
Everyone
also,
needs a good gavel.
Everybody does. Tom's laying...
I hope this table survives all of this gaveling, by the way.
Tom is laying down some good stuff there. Also with us, Brecky Tomlinson. I always say it wrong.
Close enough. Yeah.
I want to put another M or something in there. From CSICon.net.
Psycon.
Is it just Psycon?
Psycon.
I've been doing it wrong ever since I've seen it.
You turned it into a CBS show.
Great. CSICon. That's great. Everybody get together. Who likes New York? None of us. geekpositive.com, of course, is another great place you can find them and a wonderful podcast there. Brecky, it's good to have you, man.
Thank you. Good to be here.
He hails from central Sweden, right?
Right. Yes. I'm Icelandic, but I live here.
Okay. So you're from the land of Iceland where, now can you confirm a thing I heard as a child and never had anybody correct me?
You're gonna ask the Greenland thing.
You ready for this? Yes, it is. So when I was a kid, we were told by teachers that Iceland was called that because somebody didn't want people to think it was cool and awesome and green. So if you called it Iceland, it would keep them away and stop you from invading it. But they called Greenland because it was more of an icy wasteland and they wanted people to go there and invade it. Any truth to any of that?
You're basically saying that the name of my country is a PR stunt.
Yes. Yes.
Something wrong with that?
No, not really.
It didn't happen that way, did it? Damn it.
No, the first name of Iceland was Snowland because one of the first settlers saw snow there. And then another settler, thinking that he landed on a different island, saw ice and he said, "Oh, this is Iceland."
I feel like a giant idiot for thinking that, but I think there was a whole generation, Tom, who just bought into it.
The same thing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, everybody
thought the teachers would tell us this. Yeah.
I don't like the fact that I was in a high school, an American public high school, and I was still told this at some point.
Objection, teachers.
That's right.
We're taught the same thing all over the world, really.
Okay. So let me ask, I'm going to save that for later in the show, because I'm always fascinated by that, because there's just stuff you hear that just when you're a kid, you hear it and it's just plain not true. Like all kinds of stuff in health class that they told us that it's just bunk.
See, I don't remember things from health class ended up being. I don't know
some
what
of
kind
it.
Of
I remember like, I'm trying to remember. I don't know.
We were told all the buffalo were dead. They were extinct.
Yeah, right.
And then I saw buffalo at the zoo and I'm like.
And now you can buy it at the grocery store.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. You can get burgers. I'm like, is that okay?
Yeah, is that okay? Like one of them left. What's going on? What are we doing? Anyway, it's something to think about, everybody. Let's get right into
it. I hope they're not spreading misinformation. My kid just went through the puberty video the other day.
Oh,
they better be
one.
Telling him truth now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you know,
I got enough difficulties. I don't need to be like fixing what they teach him.
Your unicorn horn will sprout from your head at age 17.
All I know is they're still, so my kids, my son's school, they're still showing the video they showed me when I was his age.
Oh, wow, that's frightening.
Is it the miracle of life or the life miracle or something? Whatever it's called. And
this one was all modern.
Was it? You're lucky. Yes. Because the one I saw was horrifying in every way. And I remember the line. This is the line that just about killed me when it started and I had to leave class. The journey through the penis. And that's all I could take.
That was an Asimov book, wasn't it?
An Asimov book.
three, part of the Foundation trilogy.
Yeah, three rules of robotics and then Journey Through the Penis. Exactly.
Mm. Everybody right. got miniaturized. See,
for me, the line that got me, because we got to watch the puberty video for our kids like ahead of time, so we would know what they had been.
Oh, the line that got me. It is 2013. I forgot.
Right. Yeah. A little boy says, well, you know, Uncle Tim, lots of kids talk about how big they are. And the uncle says, don't worry, you'll grow to the height you're supposed to be. He goes, not that kind of big.
Oh, man. How old is this kid?
11.
That's too young.
Forget it, Uncle Tim. Like, ah! I'll just Google it.
Yeah. What happened to our youth? Goodness gracious. All right. Well, here it is. It's the big stories of the day.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom, take it away.
Hey, John Scalzi's novel Red Shirts, which I highly enjoyed. It's a humorous take on a Star Trek-like universe where the red shirts start to realize what happens to red shirts in the Star Trek universe, has been greenlit into a limited series on FX. So it's bigger than a mini series, I suppose, but smaller than a regular series. Yeah. John Shestek of Dan in Real Life fame and producer-director Ken Kwapis of The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, they both actually are part of a company that did the show Outsourced as well, are on board to produce it.
Nice. Now, FX is a good place, I think, because FX has a tendency to give things a chance. Network TV would maybe get three episodes in and then have to have a hard meeting. It feels like FX gives them a better shot. So I'm cool with that.
Well, and it's a limited series, right? So it just has to happen.
Yeah.
They don't have to get picked up for another season, I guess.
So what's to keep a show like this from getting sued by Paramount because they're referring to red shirts? I always worry about that, you know? Yeah, like, Kristen, if you were...
Parody or fair use or something, I will absolutely watch that. That sounds hilarious. Mm. And I kind of like... I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I wasn't sure what I would think of, because it's like about everybody but the superheroes.
Yeah.
And so what you're talking about now is it's about everything but Captain Kirk and the rest of the crew.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The people we like. Yeah. The people we like and generally think of when we think of Star Trek. But sure. I mean, red shirts kind of have a life of their own. It was great in Galaxy Quest to watch them play with that. I assume they didn't get sued.
They don't have a life of their own. That's the point.
Well, they have one.
Well, and the book is hilarious. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And you've read it.
I think Galaxy Quest is good legal precedent for this.
Yeah. They probably can get away with it. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
So watch for it. I'm excited. Great. FX. Good deal. I'm down with it.
Now, we all know that Philip Seymour Hoffman tragically passed away. I'm personally very sad about that. I think he was a fantastic actor. He was in the Hunger Games series as Plutarch Heavensby. Now, part one is going to be released in November. That was already shot. So, you know, it's going to be bittersweet situation to see him on the screen. They hadn't finished shooting all of part two of Mockingjay, which is coming November 2015. But the director said today in a Seattle Post Intelligence article that's referring to the New York Post, so I'm a little shaky on that, that they are going to recreate at least one scene in Mockingjay part two digitally. It's an emotional scene that they didn't feel that they could shoot around. And so they're going to have to do some, you know, still cuts and behind the shoulder and recreation.
So this happens in movies. A guy will be a dude in a movie and he will pass away for some reason in the movie. I remember the last time this happened with a bunch of significance was probably the Natalie Wood role in, what was that movie? The one with,
Well, I was thinking of Dumbledore.
Brain.
How's that movie?
Oh, there's another one. That's a good one.
But Natalie Wood wasn't in Harry Potter.
No, she wasn't. That was a bit
that would have been interesting.
Brainstorm was the name of the movie. And it was a really old movie about VR technology. And I really liked it. It was a big deal when I was a kid and I watched it a bunch of times. But I didn't know she had died in the filming or during the film, not filming the movie, but during the time it was being filmed. And I didn't notice. Well, what I did notice was this weird Uncanny Valley moments, a few moments in the movie where she would be making a face in a scene that was like, wait a minute, that does not seem like a face you would make in that scene. It wasn't being digitally done. They were just shots of her face from other footage, B-roll or some other movie maybe even, where they're just using it in these strange places. They did it again in Gladiator in 2000, 2001 with that trainer dude that was a Gladiator's kind of mentor guy, kind of his Jabba the Hutt trained nobody to do anything good.
Would have been interesting, though.
Yeah, but isn't that interesting?
The life of Jabba the Hutt.
Brecky, what would you have preferred here? Like, is there another way around it? Is the only way we can do it is digitally put a face in now?
To be honest, I don't like the idea of them digitally putting him in there. I would have preferred, you know, Jack Black in makeup or something, just to have a real actor doing a real performance.
Mm. Anybody.
Maybe not Jack Black.
Jack Black. That's interesting. That's an interesting pick because they have some similarities physically, I would say.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. I don't...
Well, and they're only doing one scene. Does that make you feel better, Brecky? Because I think they have footage of him for other scenes, but there's one scene in particular that they're like, we need to have this scene. And rather than not use the footage we have and cast another actor suddenly, let's try to figure out a way to just get through that one scene with some clever editing and shots and CG.
I don't know. I mean, the article describes this as a pivotal scene in the movie. So I'm just worried that the sudden CGI is just going to break the mood. Kind of like the Tron movie. The flashback scenes, they just really didn't work for me because I was too busy noticing the CGI instead of following along with the plot.
Yeah. I don't know that this ever works very well. What do you say, Kristen?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, we've watched the movies. My husband actually really enjoys those movies. And see, I think it would be as disruptive to just throw another actor in for that one scene. So if the choice is between use a different actor for just once, I guess I'm going to go with the CGI.
Either way.
You know, and there's precedent.
Yeah.
Part of the problem is it's so recent and it's so tragic. I mean, but there's, you know, Dior commercials right now with you know, Marilyn Monroe and Grace Kelly. And we have a certain level where this is happening, but I think part of it is so fresh.
Yeah.
So the idea that we have to replace him so quickly.
Yeah.
It almost seems disrespectful.
Yeah. Even though isn't, I mean, they have to
go on,
right?
Well, I was going to say, it actually feels respectful because the other option is they reshoot everything with a new actor and they chuck everything he did.
That's a good
point.
And
so this allows them to keep all the work he's done. It's, I mean, any way you cut it, seeing him is going to just be a blow where you're going to be like, oh my God, there he is.
Yeah. This is perhaps the very definition of a rock and a hard place when it comes to this sort of thing. Because you're going to draw attention to it if you don't use his scenes, if you do use his scenes, if you don't even have to reshoot anything or do anything CGI, the fact that he's still in it and you know he's not there is drawing attention to it. I just don't know how you get around it. So
yeah, because Harry Potter, they just replaced the actor.
Yeah,
he died afterwards, and then the next movie was a new actor.
Right. Yeah, and so because he died between productions, you could kind of deal with it in a different way. Also, Richard Harris was 1,000 years old or something, and it was like, I mean, you know, no offense to anybody who loved Richard Harris, I think he was amazing, but it wasn't like a giant shock. He was in poor health and all this other stuff. So when this all came around, that seemed more palatable to me. And I didn't mind Michael Gambon that much. I can't believe I remember his name. But yeah, Michael Gambon.
Also, Dumbledore had the advantage of having heavy makeup. So, you know, replacing actors didn't make it as complicated. Here we have an actor, Philip Seymour Hoffman, who was hardly wearing any makeup or a costume or anything. He was just playing a character in the movie.
Yeah. He had the weird
by the time
hair.
They replaced, you know, Dumbledore, you know, he had started to kind of take a backseat in the, in you know, where... This character is central to what's happening.
To the Mockingjay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it is.
It's hard. All right. Before we pass on to this, I want real quick, round the table, favorite Philip Seymour Hoffman performance. Kristen, you go first.
Oh, I'm a terrible one to ask about this because I...
Anything. It could be anything.
Mockingjay. I mean, I don't know his work that well. I really don't. I'm not... I know he's amazing, but I don't know his work as well as clearly other people do, as I've been reading all the retrospectives.
Yeah, there's been
plenty of it. I'm going to take a pass out of respect.
Mission Impossible 3, maybe.
That was mine.
Red Dragon.
MI3 is my favorite. That's so good in MI3.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Good one. Night.
He's in Mission Impossible?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mission Impossible 3 is the bad guy. I'm really good at it. Really, really good.
He's a really good bad guy.
Speaking of, that's a J.J. Abrams movie, and that is the best of those movies, by the way. It's really, really well done.
Brecky, what's
your favorite?
We discussed this on my movie podcast because we do movies from 1999 or earlier. So we, in tribute to him, we decided to do one movie. My vote was for Happiness because I think that's his best movie. It's a 1998 movie directed by Todd Solondz. Very, very good movie. But eventually we settled on Twister. So I think...
Nice. He's great in Twister. He's the driver.
He is. Happiness is still going to be my vote. It's him. It's Dylan Baker, John Lovitz, Jane Adams. and a couple of others.
He's really good in Capote too. Tom, what do you say?
I can't decide. I'm staring at IMDb right now. I didn't know. I forgot he was in Patch Adams.
He's great in the Big Lebowski too. It's a small role, but
Big Lebowski is kind of where I'm leaning, just because that's how I was introduced to him. That's what I remember him in. He was amazing in Capote though.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's good in everything. It's a serious loss to actors or to Hollywood. Yeah. It really is.
I mean, it's no big surprise that his one Oscar win was for Capote.
That's true. Nominated a bunch of other times. Wait, didn't he win Best Supporting for Guilt?
No, he never did. He was nominated for The Master, for Doubt, for Charlie Wilson's War, and he won for Capote.
Guilt and Doubt. I had Doubt and Guilt mixed up.
I meant Doubt.
Yeah, Doubt's great.
And Fear and Uncertainty.
Yeah, all those. The Seven Deadly Sins.
Flatulence.
Oh, he was great in Flatulence. All right. That's a good segment. We're done with that.
All right, we're moving on.
Yeah.
This one submitted by Granny Man on our subreddit. We have a subreddit at currentgeek.subreddit.com. If anyone wants to submit stories, definitely go over there and vote on other people's submissions. It helps us decide what to put in the show. And this is about the Virtuix Omni getting some competition in the space of treadmills to be paired with the forthcoming Oculus Rift. It's heating up. As a product category, it's called the Cyberith Virtualizer, an omnidirectional treadmill used in conjunction with an Oculus Rift headset and a Wiimote. And the cool thing is they demo it showing Skyrim.
Yeah.
So, of course, Cyberith founder Tunke Kakmak describes the experience by saying, "My brain decoupled from reality and I was in the world of Skyrim." It was a pretty impressive looking demo.
Though. Also,
the video is very impressive.
Any guy named Tunke Kakmak gets my money.
Use the word decoupled more often.
I agree. That's really pretty nifty. I mean, the other one, the treadmill Omni deal is interesting, but have you ever, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen too many videos of people on that thing, but man, do people look dumb on that thing, like super dumb.
You should watch the video for the Skyrim thing, because he does one of the shouts in one of the videos and it's pretty silly.
Well, okay. So here's the question about this technology generally and why I think it's a good thing to cover on the show. As nerds, we get excited about the idea of VR. It's finally to a place where there's fidelity and it makes sense, and motion sensing and, you know, gyroscopes and all this stuff are making it possible. But it looks so stupid. And even if you're wearing just the helmet, just the Oculus Rift, you look like a big dummy. And I don't know how to get around that. I don't know if there's a way around it. Maybe we just get used to it. Maybe it's like glasses in the 1600s. Eventually people are like, ah, it's fine. You know, I don't know. I don't know where you go with it. And Kristen, you said something about you'd barf. I'm kind of this way too. I get real sensitive to it.
I feel like I might get a little queasy, but I also want to just say that if anyone in my life ever hears about this, they are forbidden to tell my son about it, because he's a huge Skyrim fan. I mean, huge.
You don't want
this
all
lined up. He even sees that this is an opportunity. I mean, he's already the boy under the stairs. He practically lives in the basement. The dragons, the helmets, the sword. I mean, the kid's saving up for a broadsword. Like, no.
Who isn't?
No. Yeah, who isn't really? That's great. I think that's kind of awesome. It's Skyrim specifically he really enjoys.
Oh, he loves dragons.
Yeah.
He's huge dragons. He just held his first Dungeons and Dragons gathering here.
You should be proud.
The other day. I am very proud.
Yeah.
I bought him a sword for Christmas.
Well, good.
Of course I'm proud. He got a cloak.
Kind of awesome mom are you? Jeez. It's amazing. Oh, yeah. You are the manic mommy for sure.
We had this, I will say, so, you know, my husband and I were talking about whether or not to get him a cloak, like a full-on wizard's cloak for Christmas. And I could see my husband was struggling with it. And I was like, is it the cost? Or is, have we crossed a line on Geek? Because here's the thing. If I buy him a cloak now, he will wear it forever.
Yeah.
Every Halloween, it will be the cloak. Yeah. And if somebody gave me a cloak when I was his age, I would have like, I've been over the moon. Hell, if somebody gave me a cloak now, I'd be excited. Yeah. So,
is this Anders, by the way?
This is Anders.
This is bad because he's got like already kind of a fantasy name. You know what I mean?
We call him the Anders Mon.
Yeah.
My nephew saved up and bought a broadsword as a child, and now he's in college studying in Uppsala, Sweden.
Whoa.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
See?
You know, we went to a Renaissance fair. They're several hundred dollars. I said, if you save up for a sword, I just don't know. that he has reasonable expectations of what I'm going to allow him to do with it.
Right.
Mounted on the wall tightly.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, like, you're mounted on the wall. Like, I'm going to bring it to school.
It's also the best thing to do. We had an experience where Nick has these dual katana things that are smaller, sort of short versions of katana swords. They may even have a real name, I don't know. But he has these things, and he shoved them under his bed while other cousins were over. 2 or 3 hours into the night, I see a 5-year-old running through the house with some sort of headband on, waving these two unsheathed katanas above his head. And I thought, someone's going to die here.
Yeah. This can only end well.
No, this is real bad. So be careful there with your broadsword and your son there.
I gave him a dragon. Every Christmas, I give him a dragon sculpture of some kind. And this time it was a wall mounted sculpture and had basically a massive letter opener in it.
Nice.
But that was enough. He was like, I have a sword.
Yeah.
You're also going to have to hide the fact that Oculus is co-publishing Eve Valkyrie with CCP Games.
Yeah.
Tom's
That's
going to
be a launch title for the Oculus.
Yes, yes. So since we have an Icelandic among us here, Brecky.
Yes.
Eve is funny because I feel like they have as many employees as all of Iceland has as population sometimes. Like, I feel
330,000?
Well, it just feels like Eve is such a big deal. And it must just be huge. Well, maybe it isn't. Maybe there nobody cares. But over here, we look at it and go, my gosh, look at that. Look at CCP just rocking the world over there. This little, developer, it's smack in the middle of Iceland. It's just such a rad idea. I don't know why that impresses me. It's because Iceland's small and it's, I don't know, salty and stuff, right?
Right. No, I mean, Iceland's chief exports were fish. And Eve, more or less, back in the mid-2000s.
My gosh.
And then the major collapse happened in 2008, and the major export became people and Eve, more or less.
Wow. So now is that the same? Still people and Eve? More people leave? More Eve leaves?
Well, Iceland has been picking up very rapidly since we let the banks fail. But Eve has stayed strong. I mean, Eve continues to... I think CCP still remains Iceland's strongest company at the moment.
I think that's amazing and great. Or it's really bad that one video game company is making everyone else look bad there. You know what I mean?
Could depend
on how you look at it. But I've always admired them. And this new Valkyrie game looks really awesome. Mm-hmm. From what I've seen, it looks really cool. This might make you super sick, Kristen, because it's all VR all the time. And you're in space saving the world, the universe.
I'm all with that. It's hard enough to keep my son in the real world on occasion. So if we can fully immerse him into a dragon world, I will never see him again.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can get him to go on a vacation to Iceland to visit the new Eve monument being built.
Are there swords? He will go if there are swords.
Well, it's a sculpture that will stand almost 16 and a half feet tall and feature a quote from the game etched on the circuit surface. And if you're an active player of EVE Online as of March 1st, 2014, you'll get your name in the platform.
Wow. Really?
I'm thinking of subscribing only for that. Having my name out
kind
there.
Kind of thought the same thing.
That's amazing.
I'm going to admit, we haven't made the leap to this particular online game, so I don't think our names are going to end up on that thing.
That's a really hard game to get into. Once you do, I mean, there's some amazing things happening on the other end, but to get in is a wall of confusion.
Is it in space?
It is, and it's beautiful. Yeah. And when you see it, you'd see a trailer and go, oh, I must play this. And then you play it, and then you go, I don't want to ever play this again. Because it's all spreadsheets and math, and it's not I don't think it's very accessible. I think there's majesty in there. You just have to dig deep. I'm more interested in the political ramifications, the crazy in-game things that happen that affect outside world stuff and real money and the fact that they're this big stable company in Iceland and nobody's even close to that. Like, all that stuff's fascinating to me, but the game itself has just sort of always left me a little dry.
I think as geeks go, we tend to go more towards the medieval and dragony type place than the futury space type place. So
Tom, unless
there
are gavel
in
that
space,
down.
We're not
objection. Objection. The judge has an objection. Tell us, Laser. Why is she?
The reason Scott said
that
is,
just know his preferences.
Yeah. In Sword and Laser, I'm the Laser. And I am partial to the space set stuff. Like the spaceships and the lasers and the fighting in the space over dragons.
Yeah.
Not that I don't absolutely love dragons.
Right.
Sorry. My son's life's goal, his life's work, is to become a scientist that creates dragons. That's what he's decided.
Oh, I love it. Wow. He's mixing
sword and lasers. Very nice. Yeah.
He's bringing the dragons to town.
That's a sword that shoots biotech. Lasers, is what that is. That's great.
Yes, dragons that shoot.
Very exciting. I'm a bit to the point here. Keep going, Eve, and weird crap in Iceland. I think this stuff's great.
Yeah. Online celebration, Fan Fest, April 30th in downtown Reykjavik. And I will leave the pronunciation of the artist who's creating this monument to you, Brecky.
Yeah, say that.
Sigurdur Gudmundsson.
Oh, my Lord.
I would have got Gudmundsson right. Sigurdur.
Sigurdur. It was my mother's father's name.
Was it really?
One of these days, I want to speak to a linguist. I want to know how somebody could take that word and think it sounded okay coming out of their mouth for the first time. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's what the French think of English, too, though.
Do they?
Yeah, it is.
It's all relative.
Okay.
Yeah. French describe English as a cat being strangled.
Okay, here's me saying it. Sigurdur. Now you say it.
Sigurdur.
So I'm not even freaking close.
There's extra syllables in there that I can't pronounce. Are, so let's talk about something Japanese, because that's easy.
Sure.
Osaka University and the Tokyo University of Agriculture and Technology have co-developed a fuel cell that could be used to create a wireless sensor network comprised of self-powered cockroaches.
What?
The sensors are powered by the insect's own body fluid, trehalose, through a small needle inserted into its torso. A 3D printed prototype of the cell produced 50.2 microwatts of power from one cockroach.
I don't see
how this could go wrong at all.
What's the end game? Giant plants just full of running cockroaches that hopefully don't escape and kill us and eat us all? I mean, what? I don't know
what this Wi-Fi. That's what the plan is.
All right. That sounds
okay.
Fine.
I'm gonna go on the record as saying there would be people in my town might have a problem with this because they're already mad about the fact that we have Wi-Fi networks in our public schools. They've actually filed a petition asking that they be removed because it's gonna like damage brains and stuff. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
So if I then say we're gonna take the little bugs. Turn them into mobile spots.
Okay, so that's a bad way. These are sensors. They're not actually broadcasting Wi-Fi. That was my own spin on it. But they could be used in places where you need to monitor activity in a widespread area, and it's much easier to do that, especially if you're doing like, you know, some kind of natural monitoring of the environment, you know?
Yeah.
You could sell these to the NSA.
Like in my apartment in New York City?
Yeah.
Everybody in New York City and Texas.
I'm horrified by the
big
whole
old
thing.
Cockroaches.
I think
down
it's
there.
Horrifying. I don't like the
you
idea.
Could put them on. I think we could really complete this picture if we could turn bed bugs into little.
You could. You could do
you know,
insects.
Between the
That's
two of them.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Do the bed
bugs.
I think
we should take the most unattractive bugs to do this with.
Well, and then the sensors would tell you where the concentration of bed bugs are, and you could track down the problem.
Oh, see, problem solved. Technology clear. I'm okay with it now.
Hey, Brain Goose submitted this next one on our subreddit. Yeah. Did you guys know that there's a Ludosport Lightsaber Combat Academy chain in Italy?
No.
Yeah.
There's another
they
language
teach
I don't
willing
like.
Students the art of lightsaber combat.
So hold on. Ludosport. Why am I not knowing what Ludosport is?
It's Italian. That Ludosport's just the name of the
Oh, academy. It's just an Italian name. Okay. I thought it was like a
it's
thing.
It's a
like,
lightsaber academy, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I thought it was like,
see,
what's the
that
what's
I
the,
can get my kid to?
I thought it was like
I'm
lacrosse or something.
I'm not getting them to see the weird sculpture, but if I say lightsaber academy, honey, we're gone.
Really? Okay.
That's
so,
on it.
Plan.
Yeah.
You're going to Milan and Genoa and drinking wine in the countryside, and he's just having fun at the lightsaber academy.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm going to the lightsaber academy. What are you kidding
me? Well, all right. You're
it
drinking
is still
wine
one of my
in Milan
pains.
And Genoa and going to the lightsaber academy.
One of my greatest pains.
You're like doubly winning.
Grown-ups can't go to the Jedi Academy at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
That is a pity.
That doesn't
grown-ups
seem
can
fair.
Go to this one, though.
Can go to this one?
Yes, they
all
can.
All right, Kristen.
At least they looked pretty grown up in the video I watched.
Your next trip. When you're there, your family. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Hospitaliano.
We, or C, or what
I
is it?
I feel a disturbance in the breadsticks.
Tutto bene.
And finally, there's going to be an organized Logan's Run chase this weekend in San Francisco, California. Something called the Multiverse Council has asked runners to meet at 6:30 p.m. sharp at the center of Yerba Buena Gardens, which is in the middle of downtown, and Sandmen to meet at 6 p.m. sharp in the same place for a briefing. Everyone will wear a life clock, and it's a real life street game.
I love this. This is such a San Francisco thing to do. Like they do like that thing, the Make-A-Wish kid with the Batman thing. They love this kind of stuff. Brecky, in your country, do they ever like shut everything down for crazy crap in a big city? Like, what do you guys do for fun?
The closest thing we get is the yearly zombie walk.
Yeah. That's a good
That's
one.
That's pretty close.
Yeah. How big is that? How much of the city does it take over? Is it a giant thing or what?
It's pretty big, actually. Considering we don't get all that much of other geeky things downtown, I think the zombie walk attracts people who wouldn't ordinarily go to a zombie walk because there's nothing else.
Are they super white zombies with lots of blonde hair? Is that how it works?
Yes, that's exactly how it works. And they float half an inch above the ground and you can see their hearts not beating.
Like baby fish, right?
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
It's like baby fish. You see a little heart beating.
Wait, what is a zombie walk?
Bunch of zombies
walking. People dress up as zombies. Yeah, people dress up as zombies and just meander through the streets going, grr, brains. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Like an airport here in the States.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, yeah, very much.
Because my son decided that he wanted to do, he has started running with me. And I told him that if he did a 5K without stopping, we could do a Run for Your Life, which is a zombie 5K. It's a 5K where you're being chased by zombies. And if you cross the finish line with your tag, then you've survived the zombie apocalypse. But I haven't found one recently.
What do they charge for that? Do you know what they charge for that?
I have no idea. It's probably 5Ks. $25-$30 per.
I like that. I just.
I will pay a lot to have an 11-year-old run. Yeah. I will. Anything that encourages that behavior, I will pay.
By the way, a little inside knowledge. You know, you've had a long day of podcasting when I ask the same question twice in a row with barely any change in inflection, like I just did to you. I said, "Do you know what those cost? How much do those cost? Do you know what those cost?"
I just ignored
What's
you.
What's the price of those things?
I'm curious how much they cost.
What
if
the price
you were to assign
be.
A monetary value to them.
Oh, gosh.
If you were to exchange this for
monetary value, different question.
Yeah, of course. That's really awesome. I'm going to tell you guys about a sponsor who's also awesome. If you need some energy for that big zombie run or that 5K, and Kristen's just she's such an in-shape twig of her former self. She's amazing that you're doing all that stuff. Why don't you eat fresh? Eat at HelloFresh. In fact, make fun out of cooking again. Order these awesome recipes. All you do is go to their site, check out what their chefs have made, say, I like that recipe, it looks pretty good. And they're going to send the exact farm fresh ingredients straight to your door. And in 30 minutes or less, you're going to impress everybody with your food cooking prowess. All you got to do is go to HelloFresh.com and see if they deliver to you. They're all over the world and expanding all of the time. The code to use is CURRENTGEEK50 for 50% off for first-time customers. That's CURRENTGEEK50 at HelloFresh.com.
In case you missed a look at one of the best-dressed beauties of the early 20s, here's another look at her. Had enough?
All right. What's going on with the Olympics? There's something happening.
Hey, what? No, you mean the celebration of athletic prowess known by a protected trademark similar to a name derived from Mount Olympus in Greece, right?
That's right. We can't say that, can we?
You could say it. You just can't.
Are you going to get sued?
Yeah, because we're big on someone's radar somewhere.
If we called it the current Geek Olympics, then we'd get sued. Ooh, and we're sued.
And we're sued.
No, so I was just curious. I threw this in here because there's a lot of stories today about streaming of the Olympics and how NBC did not stream the opening ceremonies live, even though they're streaming everything else live. But you can only get the stream if you can prove that you pay for NBC through a cable provider, even though a lot of like 9% of the country only does broadband and not cable, and they can watch NBC over the air perfectly legitimately. So I was curious if we aren't as excited about these Olympics as we usually are. I guess.
I feel like there's so much news about rounding up dogs and bad hotels and, you know, dash cams capturing horrible events on the way to the Olympic stadiums and things.
And puff pieces about how hacking happens there, even though it happens everywhere.
Yes. That kind of puff pieces are a run amok right now.
The toothpaste.
Yes.
No toothpaste for anyone.
Yep. And the water's all like pee or whatever.
Yes. Face poison water.
Yeah. Face poison. So with all that stuff going on, I feel like there's just a taint on the Olympics from that.
You.
I'm not going to use the word taint. I'm going to say.
Yeah, don't do that.
There is a curse on the Olympics. Thank you. I feel like there's trouble afoot and it's nothing to do with the actual games. I'm in a city where we had Olympic Games in 2002 and very successful.
Fine one, I might add. It was great. I enjoyed the Children of Light.
Yes, it was nice. I mean, you know, say what you want about Mitt Romney, became kind of swooped in here and fixed it, and it was the most profitable thing we'd ever done in the city. It actually made money, unlike most cities that, you know, kind of tank after. So it was a really good experience, lots of fun. The locals all enjoyed it. We liked having the world here and whatnot. It was in the aftermath of 9/11, so there's a lot of talk about that. It was all very patriotic, and everybody's all sort of into rooting for the U.S. and all this stuff. So it was great, but we didn't have any of that other weird side stuff going on. I feel like that's kind of part of the problem. The other issue is you just said that they're not going to stream it directly, but I have Aereo now. Won't I be able to? I'll see everything they show.
You will be able on Aereo, just like over the air, to watch NBC's tape delayed broadcast of the opening ceremonies. But the opening ceremonies already happened.
Oh, good point.
And everyone else in the world watched it live, except the United States.
Great.
In fact, it's airing right now. I can hear it in the background.
Is it still going?
Is it going there? Well, wait.
They just started.
Oh, it just started.
The tape delay started for you.
The tape, the, yeah.
Right.
I set the TiVo. Because I also don't know why we're watching it live.
Well, and there's another thing, fast forward. Kristen, you get to watch it now if you wanted to. You could just leave, go watch it. But I can't. I have to wait 2.5 hours because of the time zone delay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's other. Yeah, we don't get it yet. I have NBC Nightly News on right now.
Yeah, I won't have it. It's 4:30.
I'm actually getting irritated with all my shows saying, see you in 2 weeks. I'm like, you know, I don't want to watch the Olympics. Like, I'm not. I mean, yes, I'll watch some of the Olympics. I am not going to sit and watch the Olympics every night for hours and hours. I'm just not that interested. And so now I can't watch anything else because the whole schedule has been cleared.
Even non-NBC channels.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everything has been, nothing else done. See you in 2 weeks.
For some Amazon originals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. We got a lot of sources of other stuff now we can watch during this. But Brecky, you come from the land of enjoying sports on the slopes of things. So
I hear, yes.
Well, I mean, what is the general, I don't know. I'm always fascinated by this, but we assume that you guys are just swashbuckling your way through moguls and ski slopes all day long. Like, that's just kind of the way it is in Scandinavian countries. But
Close. That's more Norway. Sweden is more of a hockey and soccer country.
Mm. So yeah, are you excited about hockey and, well, not soccer, obviously, but hockey in the games? You guys have have some skin in the game?
Or ice soccer, as we call it.
ice soccer. Brilliant.
Personally, no. I know that a lot of people around me are excited, but I'm not. Sports ball has never appealed to me in any way.
All right. I think there can be some of that in our lives. I realize geeks generally are like, sports, whatever. But, you know, I enjoy the Super Bowl. I like the playoffs. I'm into, you know, hockey occasionally. But are any of us super, like Brian, Tom's super into baseball. Like, you follow it like pretty close, right?
Yeah, not as close as I used to. I feel like I'm a little bit of a poser, but I love baseball and I do follow it.
We have done all the sports talk we're allowed to on
podcast. No, you know what? I like the Olympics. I like the kids to see the Olympics, to kind of, you know, see what, if they decide to do something, like, you know, see people who are really working hard and what they can achieve. And also some of the lessons from stuff like the Super Bowl or the World Series is also watching the other teams fail and saying, like, see, these are people that are top of their game and they have a bad day. They have a bad, like, it's not just
you. So there's
you.
No hope for you.
You're
No,
but, you know, like, they'll say, oh, we can, you know, or the idea that, like, you can turn it around in the fourth quarter, or you can. So, I mean, I'm with you, Scott. I think that part of the problem is there's so many distractions with both the political situation over there, the, you know, just state of affairs when it comes to just, you know, all the reporters and their crazy tweets and pictures about where everything stands, the dogs, the, you know, I think it's distracting from the actual Olympics. And then we kept seeing stories of, like, athletes who won't have their families come because they're afraid. And so I think it's just, it's not as one of my friends on Facebook was like, how did Russia get picked to host the Olympics? They can't even host a Tupperware party.
Oh, man. I don't want to go to a Tupperware party in Russia. That's all I'm getting at. Yeah, it's interesting. We'll have to see how it all plays out.
Yeah. We got a new Microsoft CEO this week, Satya Nadella. He's the guy who was in charge of cloud and enterprise. So all of their hosted services like Windows, Azure, all the things that none of us generally use in our daily life, but we use the results of them in our daily life and in many cases. And the big thing is Bill Gates is no longer chairman of the board of Microsoft. He's stepped down to advise Satya Nadella. Steve Ballmer is no longer CEO. He's still on the board, but it's kind of the end of an era. And it was interesting. Somebody asked on Daily Tech News Show this week, do you feel like Microsoft, it was Justin Robert Young asked this, do you feel like Microsoft is becoming an underdog?
I think so. I've said this for a while. I think every big company goes through this phase, and it's usually when there's a big switch in technology of some sort. It's usually this way for Apple. Apple always has this problem. They'll come in, they'll take some ideas from other stuff, but they will innovate with a product that will kind of change things fundamentally. They did it with the Mac 30 years ago, and they rode high for a while, and then this little Microsoft company came in and said, well, what if we did something kind of like that, but made it real cheap and easy to pirate and, you know, whatever. And it would play and it would run on all these thrown together PCs that are super cheap and we can go mass market with it. And they just stole their thunder completely. And you could argue that Apple did it again in 2007 with the iPhone. And then pretty quickly after that, Google rolled up to the picture and said, well, we can do something kind of like that and we can make it on multiple carriers. And now they're worldwide anyway, dominating in the numbers with Android and putting Apple in that position again. Now it's a little bit different this time. Apple's staying strong in other ways and whatever, but I feel like Microsoft's time was coming where they could not continue to be this giant kid on the block. Faster, more agile companies were going to come along and threaten them. Mobile, they've been really slow to figure out their place in it. I think Ballmer was part of that problem. If you just listen to his interviews in 2007 and 8, when he was just so sure that RIM and Apple and everybody else were up in the night, that people didn't want smartphones, not in the way that they made them, is very telling, I think, about why they're so behind in the mobile fight. And I don't know what it takes to get them back, but maybe this changes it. You know, maybe this is it. We needed a new guy at the head of the thing, even though I can't spell say his name very well.
Satya Nadella.
Just think Nutella.
Satya Nutella. I got it.
Satya.
Yep, I'm good. Satya Nutella, right?
No, it's not Satya.
No, it's not.
Creamy chocolate goodness.
My name for Microsoft's new CEO is Creamy Chocolate Goodness.
Salty Nutella.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what they do to, I don't know. This feels like this is the thing you should do. You know, you shake things up a little bit, but who knows? I mean, can Cloud Guy do it? I don't know. No idea.
I personally think Microsoft's future is as a services company. And if they have mobile devices, they have mobile devices in order to get people to use their services. So I think it's the right guy for the job, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I think Microsoft has the advantage. They have a huge install base. So, I mean, everybody's using Microsoft products. So if they just do something right, instead of releasing another Windows Vista or Windows 8, they have a potential to go huge.
Yeah.
It should be pointed out, too, that this is Microsoft's third CEO. Apple, a company that's so identified with Steve Jobs, is on its fifth.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a company that hasn't changed a lot since its inception. And this is potentially a huge change. I mean, where is Satya Nadella taking the company?
Yeah. Well, you think they're a bit like, they remind me of Nintendo. They're like, they're this company who has all the potential in the world and has all the tools in the world. They just are being weird with the stuff they have. And if they
they need to avoid becoming Nintendo, right? Where Nintendo's like, we're riding Mario all the way. And Mario's starting to get tired.
Yeah.
Windows is going to get tired soon.
It's a too much for me.
Mario's exhausted.
Ride Luigi for a while, for goodness sake.
Kristen, any thoughts about Microsoft and their place in our world, in our lives?
I'm going to say Microsoft has very limited place in my world. I'm a fully Apple household, fully Apple office. Mm-hmm. I mean, I use Word, Excel, PowerPoint, all fairly easily replaced. So, you know, to me, it's, I started to sign up for this HelloFresh while you guys were talking.
Oh, you should. It's so good. They're in Boston. It's like, they're so good.
I'm out on this conversation.
That's all right. It's good. HelloFresh.
Let's finish real quick with these with this IO9 story. You found this one, right?
Yeah, Scott? This is great. There are 10 major franchises that have never been rebooted. We're always talking about how Hollywood is so quick to jump in and remake things that we think our childhood is based on, but there are 10 kind of shocking things. And the reviews are bad. Have you seen the reviews?
Yeah. I'm watch the crowd.
I'm sure it's awful, but I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. And Tom makes a good point. There's lots of like YouTube fan servicey kind of remakes and things like that. But if you don't count those, look at this list. And this is about to change for number one. But Star Wars hasn't had a reboot. It's not even getting one, really. It's just getting a sequel.
Yeah, I don't think it's getting a reboot. It's just getting more sequels.
Yeah, they're extending it. And all those old actors are going to be back in it, so it's not like they're redoing them even. So that's a good point. Judge Dredd.
The comics.
Yeah, you could argue that new Dredd movie is a reboot, but not really. Mm. It's not. It's sort of just another story. I don't know how you, these are difficult to tell, but in the comic world, they definitely haven't rebooted it. Stargate, SG-1 specifically.
They kind of tried to reboot without rebooting. They did Stargate Universe where they're like, we're going to do entirely different people in an entirely different part of the universe, but they still had a little bit of guest crossover to say like, it's not a reboot. Still in the same continuity.
Extension, yeah. Kind of like Star Trek Next Gen and all the others, yep. Right?
The one that impresses me as a thing that has not been done yet is Dune.
Oh, yeah.
Frank Herbert's Dune. Why isn't Dune a thing, a series again? I know there was a miniseries for a while.
Yeah, exactly. There was a movie that David Lynch took his name off of, and then there was a miniseries that BBC and Sci-Fi Network combined on.
Yeah.
So maybe I may have that wrong on the BBC part of it. I can't remember. But anyway.
Someone will tell you.
It's been done twice is all I'm saying, right?
Kristen's right. Someone will tell you.
Isn't that a reboot?
I don't know. It's close.
Technically it is, yes.
I think the problem with Dune is it's really weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's also very, very good.
The books,
it's very good. You know, it's...
Books are insane. The books are really, really good, but you're right. Even those books, you're like, whoa, who's this now? What am I doing? You got to take breathers with that series. It's hard. It's hard for me anyway.
There's a Chilean director called Alejandro Jodorowsky who was trying to make his own version of Dune before David Lynch got his hands on it. And it never went anywhere, but there's a lovely set of art for the movie, of his thoughts about the movie and so on. And I can really understand why this movie never got made, because it's not Dune as I read it. Mm. I'll send you a link to the YouTube video if you want to put it in the show notes or something, because it's absolutely amazing, the ideas that he has for Dune. Mm. Any fan of the movie or the books really deserves to watch this. It's only 10 minutes long.
I'd take an HBO series is what I'd do. If someone's going to reboot this thing, that'd be great. Give me a big anthology thing. Dick Tracy is one they've never rebooted. Doctor Who, while very extended and still going, never rebooted. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Mm. One Piece, which is a anime deal that I have no interest in at all.
Don't touch Buffy. I'm against that.
Yeah.
There is a rumor that a new Buffy movie is coming, though.
Yeah.
I'm against that.
Well, but extension?
Where's
or
the
reboot?
Gavel?
reboot, I think.
Legend of Zelda. Yeah, Tom's going to agree.
Thank you.
Legend of Zelda, I would argue, that's on this list, but I'd argue the Legend of Zelda, it reinvents itself every time. It's always a new story with a new link, with a new twist. It's never a sequel. So I think that one's a little weird.
Take this.
And then finally, The X-Files. The Chris Carter classic, The X-Files. Well, they keep trying to still squeeze a movie out of it. So I feel like until they can't do that no more, you know, until Californication 5 is going on and he's in his 60s, I think we're probably all right. Okay.
I haven't played Zelda in a very long time, but in each iteration, is Link just looking for this girl?
Yeah. She's usually more or less. Yeah, there's always other things.
When does he get ticked and just decide she's an idiot? And
well, he gets her every time. It's just that.
But how does she keep getting lost?
It's almost like a different dimension. You go to the next game, different Link, different Princess Zelda every time. It's annoying.
Alternate reality.
Yeah. They're great games. This new one on the 3DS is insanely good. But it's like they're starting over. It's weird how they do it.
Yeah.
It's time for this.
America scores and wins.
Okay, it is time. You shouldn't be worried. This is going to be so much fun. We love the quiz. Okay, you guys have spoken. You've said you'd like it to keep it. We're doing it. This is it. We're not taking it out of the show. And we're going to start today by asking, and Tom's going to score it again. Don't forget, Tom's scoring mm-hmm. is some of the most important parts of this. In fact, I would argue it's everything to this, to you winning.
There's a rule book bigger than the Oxford English Dictionary that guides my scoring.
Right. And it also has the word twerking in it. So here we go.
It does.
Brecky, are you ready to do this? You're first.
I'm always ready.
All right. This is, I just realized I don't know what your category is.
Me neither.
It's world history. No. You know what it is? All right.
No.
I'm going to, hold on. Don't go anywhere.
They didn't title the category. You just got the questions. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, it's Star Wars, but he mixed them up, I think.
With two R's and three S's.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think you got some.
Generally, I'm Brecky the Trekkie. Okay. So this is tricky.
This is tricky. Brecky the Trekkie now. All right. Here's your questions then. I'll just have to switch these up. What gambling game did Han Solo defeat Lando at to win the Millennium Falcon?
I have no idea. Poker.
Sabacc.
Okay.
I mentioned it in the second movie. In The Princess Bride. Oh, this is just movies generally. Okay.
Oh, I like movies.
Okay. In Princess Bride, Wesley and Prince Humperdinck are about to fight. What does Wesley say they want, say they will fight to?
Fight to the death.
Pain.
To the pain.
She knew
you're
this.
You're going to lose half point for that one. Come on.
You got to give some extra points to Kristen for knowing that one. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to give Kristen one.
Early points? Okay.
No, half a point.
In the Lord of the Rings, what is the capital city of Gondor?
I don't know.
Minas Tirith.
Oh, of course it is.
By your own admission, you should have known.
I'm very happy he doesn't know any of the answers, because I'm pretty sure I'm not going to know any of the answers.
Well, and there's still a chance that I'm still mixing these quizzes up, but that makes it more fun. It's fine. Next one. What Atari 2600 game was so bad that millions of unsold cartridges were reported to be buried in the New Mexico desert?
E.T.
You are correct. Nice job.
Yeah. Tom, point for that.
We have a point? Yep. Just a point.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good solid answer.
All right. You didn't dig up a point from the Mexico desert? No?
All right. No.
In the Raiders of the Lost Ark, what ancient Egyptian city is the Ark of the Covenant buried in?
Alexandria.
Incorrect. It is Tanis. Tanis.
Close.
I give you a quarter point because I think it should have been in Alexandria.
Yeah. It should have been, shouldn't it?
Probably should have been. Fine point. Five. In Army of Darkness, what department is S-Mart? I'm sorry. What department of S-Mart does Ash work in?
Home electronics.
S-Mart. It is housewares. You're close. I don't know. That's a tough one, Tom. Housewares.
Quarter point. We'll give another quarter point.
All right, quarter point.
Because, you could say, well, housewares is right next door.
Next up, what actor narrated the audiobook of Ernest Cline's book, Ready Player One?
Will Wheaton.
Very good. Nice going.
Yes, one point for that. Solid answer.
What is the name of the tavern in Shaun of the Dead?
I have no idea.
The Winchester Tavern. I didn't know that one.
That's what I thought.
What video game does Glenn mention in season 2 of The Walking Dead?
World of Warcraft.
That's a hard one. No, I admit that's hard. It was Portal. Portal was the
game. Oh, yes. I remember this now.
Yeah,
I'm going to take off quarter point then.
All right. Just because we should have known it. Finally, last question. In Office Space, what main character works at Inatech? I'm sorry. Let me read that again. Office Space, the main characters work at Inatech. What is Inatech's competitor in the movie?
Oh, I don't know.
I remember this one. It's Inatrode. Inatrode.
I'm going to give you a half point for honesty, because I could just tell you, look, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend.
He's an honest
guy.
Yeah,
no. I am.
All right. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but Kristen Brandt over here used to work for Marvel.
I was an intern.
She was an
they didn't
intern.
Pay me.
She was an intern for Marvel Studios. Okay, I just want to
Marvel
put that
Comics.
Out there. Marvel
Comics.
Marvel
Studios is the movies.
Dark Horse Comics. I don't know what I'm saying, but I do know you had some connection.
She was an intern at the Marvel Semiconductor Company.
There, that's it.
Go
Marvel.
Right, exactly.
Right. All right. So here are your questions. They are comic book related. All right.
Okay.
Let's see how you do. Not all, but some of these. Where in New York is the Xavier Institute for Higher Learning located in the X-Men?
Westchester County.
My goodness. Correct.
Wow.
In the Captain America movie that was just last couple years ago, how do they say he was frozen, or how long do they say he was frozen for?
40 years.
Oh. That is 66 years would have been the correct answer. 66.
The problem was not the movie, was my history. Like, you think I'm confused about time zones? Forget about history. I'm like,
let's see. World War II was in the 60s, right?
0.26 points for being 26 years off.
All right, perfect. Next one. In which issue of the Fantastic Four does Dr. Doom make his first appearance?
I have no idea.
Want to guess one? Just pick a number.
42.
5.
No, wait a minute. Dr. Doom, but he was... Oh, no, maybe that's the movie.
You're right. It is the movie.
Another quarter point.
He was on the
fighting.
Ship in the movie, right?
Yeah, the second one.
Right? He wasn't supposed to be in the ship. Yeah. And then his skin started sloughing off.
That movie was awful.
Gross.
It was a guy from Nip Tuck, too. He was not a good Dr. Doom. Anyway.
No, he was not. But she was a terrible Sue Storm, so let's start with that.
Good point.
1962, by the way, was his first appearance.
Oh, okay. In episode...
Maybe a tenth of
issue,
a point for a good point.
Thank you.
Who is
the point for research?
Who is the father of Cable? X-Men Cable.
Oh, I thought you meant like Cable Companies.
Wait.
The father of Cable Travel.
Mr. Comcast.
Cable. Crap. Because he went back in time.
Oh my gosh, that made me laugh.
Some time thing related. Damn it.
Yeah, he is time. He's in the future, if that helps. Cable.
He's in the future. Is Storm his mother?
I don't know. Is that your final
answer? I don't remember.
Is his father? It is Cyclops. Cyclops is his father. Scott Summers.
Lost 2/10 of a point for delay of game.
Who is...
for drama.
Who is the designer of the Sentinels? This is
I know this.
This is current day, ripped from today's headlines kind of information if you know anything about the...
U.S. government.
Incorrect. Bolivar Trask is the correct answer. And he's represented by Peter Dinklage in the upcoming X-Men Days of Future Past movie.
Oh,
who created the appearance of Venom, the first appearance of Venom in The Amazing Spider-Man?
McFarlane, I don't know.
Who'd you say?
I'm going to go with Scott McFarlane.
Tom.
Okay.
No, I'm giving you both because it's Todd McFarlane.
Todd McFarlane, that guy.
Yeah,
I'm going to give you a half point.
I think
a
half point.
I knew who it was.
But then I'm going to take away 3/10 because it's not right. So there's a whole discipline of mathematics involved here.
Yeah.
Forget about
it. He's one of the impetuses for him leaving and starting Image because they wouldn't give him credit or money that he wanted for that.
Well, he only created the looks of the character, not the idea of the character. Right. That was Randy Schuler.
Right. Schuler did the... Yeah, you're right. He's concept man, and he went off. He did the art. And neither of... Both of them, they maintained got screwed, is what they're saying.
Right.
Here's this one. What was the name of the group led by Sergeant Nick Fury in World War II?
That's not the name.
If you say Wolverines, that's also incorrect.
What? Dirty Dozen.
Dirty Dozen. Let's find out. Incorrect. The Howling Commandos. The Howling Commandos. What building do the
Fantastic... Dirty Dozen wasn't a very good guess. I'm taking a quarter point off.
That was a terrible guess. All right. What building do the Fantastic Four use as their headquarters?
It's his building. He owns it. I don't know. The Fantastic Four building.
Ah, the Fantastic Four building. The Baxter building. The Baxter building is the one.
The Baxter building. Damn it.
Yeah, you knew that.
I wish I got these questions rather than my questions.
Well, you may have
I'm
been
just going to take off.
Go ahead.
0.01 for that.
All right.
just because.
Last two questions. What are the names of the goats that pull Thor's chariot?
What?
This is true. It's a real question.
All right. Obvious. Scott's losing a point for this.
I'm getting
question.
A point off for this. Then we'll pass it down to Mike. It's a rough one.
I can even pronounce these names.
I've guessed. It's Mario and Luigi. Those are my...
Incorrect. Two of those. It is Tooth Grinder and Tooth Gnasher.
What?
Brecky, you knew this?
Yeah, it's part of the Norse mythology. Tannkrisnir and Tanngrosnir.
Oh, my
Lord. Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Both sounded like the same names.
I'm giving Brecky 2/10 of a point for good pronunciation.
Oh, thank you.
This is how this goes.
I think you should give him more.
Final.
It's actually closer to teeth bearer rather than teeth snarler.
Teeth grinder. 0.05 for being a little bit of a know-it-all.
Okay.
I think it's called a Messerschmitter.
Sure, why not? Last question, final question. Before becoming a spy, what was the Black Widow's occupation? I'll give you a hint. She's Russian, so.
CBS.
CB?
What?
Cashier.
What? What'd you say? KGB. KGB? Incorrect. A ballerina.
Oh, ballerina. Katerina.
Yeah, duh. Come on. That's what all Russian ladies do. So there you go, Tom.
Wait for that comment.
How you got to tell us how we did here? How we score this thing out?
All right, Scott. So you're at -2, but of the actual contestants, Kristen with a score of 1.23 and Brecky with 2.
Oh my goodness, really? Brecky, you won the game.
Huh? Yeah. I was not expecting that.
Well,
the funny thing is, I got my 1 point off of Brecky's comment.
Nobody
expects. I got a couple of points with off one, of you,
but then it just went kind of up and
it
down.
It went downhill from there.
Nobody expects
the 2-3.
Nobody expects the Tomquisition. That's all I got to say about that, because that's how he works. We got a forecast. We're going to do a quick one here. In fact, let's do for time. Brecky, pick your favorite of the two.
The second one.
Second one. Brain uploading, downloading technology will cause a massive shift in religion, politics, society, an identity that will change everything we think we understand about the world. Like, this is all part of forecast.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
The future promises even more startling things to come.
Because, you know, it has a theme and everything. Give us what's your thoughts on this? Where's your head at with this?
I'm a huge fan of the book Accelerando, written by, name escapes me.
Sounds fake. Accelerando sounds fake.
Charlie Strauss.
Is it about Mexican wrestlers or what is it?
No, it's about basically the world. It's a near future science fiction book about the world as it looks after brain uploading and brain downloading is a reality. Mm. So basically people are able to take backups of their brains and download them into other bodies at will. Even bodies that aren't human, if they so desire.
Wow.
And this, I think, is something that could potentially become a reality within the next, say, 200 years.
So your comment here, though, the part that really sticks out to me is it will have a massive shift in religion, politics, society, and identity. Explain, yes, them, for example, how in religion, what will be the, how is this going to change that fundamentally?
Well, because the idea of having a soul will fundamentally be altered if all of a sudden I can download my brain or my consciousness into a dog and just walk around and be a dog for a day.
Wow.
With my current intellect and capacity of thinking, but in a dog's body.
Yeah.
Even create another human type body, but with blue skin, female genitals, and orange hair.
Well, and there's also Richard K. Morgan's Altered Carbon deals with the idea that you always have a running backup. So if you're killed, you get downloaded into a new body and you just keep going.
Sure.
Blue skin, female genitals, and orange hair is my favorite 60s band that no one heard of. They were
it was my nickname in high school.
Yeah, now really I know good. What I'm going for is Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. Two down.
As me.
One to go. Right. So, Kristen, how do you feel about moving your brain into a dog's or, you know, another person's? And what would that do fundamentally to the way you see the world?
Could I do that so I could have multiple of me? So if I have, like, a lot of stuff to do, I could, like, pull out a couple of me, load them up, get them going, and then put them away.
What do you say about
technically
that?
Sure. Yeah.
Because that's my problem right now. It's cool. Like, I need, there's not enough time or people to get the amount of stuff done.
So it'd be cool if you could do it even temporarily. Say you've got four or five Kristens in the closet that are just robots, and you could download your consciousness to each of them at the state of your brain right then. And then they would all kind of know what task needed to be done.
Like what needs, and then we could all be like, all right, all in, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
You, Anders, you, Sophie, you get to the office, you get the house dealt with. I kind of love that.
Mm.
So I need more of me.
Yeah.
And then in the evening, they just reintegrate and you just upload all of their data into you again.
Oh, that was my question. Would you be able to have their stuff back? Would you be able to still have their experiences after they're
Sure, just merge.
Right. But I need to avoid the whole like, oh, I'm a person and I have rights and don't destroy me scenario that happens in every sci-fi.
Yeah, it's a patch. You need to.
So you're not worried that because they're as alive as you and have all your memories and experiences and then you have to shut them down when you're done. That doesn't.
They'll
you don't
stage a coup.
Yeah.
Because technically there's more of them than me.
Well, true. But do you have any kind of moral quandary with that? Does that bug you to think that, well, they had my quote unquote soul or consciousness for 2 hours while I got the house cleaned and now I've essentially killed them? Like, does that give you any pause?
I hung them up in the closet. They're there. I can have them later.
Yeah. But what if, okay.
I
It's like a virtual machine. You just put them on pause.
Yes.
Right. Next time you start them, it's like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Tom, any other?
You know, the issues I'm dealing with right now is like getting everybody to the places they need to be and just the amount of time it takes. What I really want is somebody to get on board with the whole like beam me up, Scotty thing, because I need to like get places and I need to get there quickly. Mm. If I can't do that, then I can like if I could put another me on the plane, you go deal with that. I'll be here.
Ooh, it'd be good if like Brecky's saying you could merge, if you could just switch, like your master consciousness just is suddenly transferred to the other body, right?
See?
Right.
That could work so too. That you're at home, you're doing your stuff, the other body's on its way to Paris. When the body gets to Paris, you're just like master switch, boom, you're in Paris.
But what happens to you at the computer? You just slump over?
That becomes your backup runs there and just starts doing some menial tasks.
Oh, that's great.
You spend a lot of time. Like yesterday I had to go to – I was in Detroit for a day. And for a two-hour meeting, I had to drive to airport, fly to Detroit, rent car, drive to client, have meeting, drive back to airport, return car, get back on plane, come home. You're like, there has to be a better way.
Yeah, I agree.
But I still need the face-to-face. So
email your personality.
Chrome for meetings.
Email my personality.
Email your personality.
That's a big attachment.
I think the big problem here could occur. You know, I'm a 33-year-old male. What if I put my brain or my consciousness in the body of a, say, 12-year-old female? Mm. What would I be allowed to do? Would I be allowed to buy alcohol?
Probably. For example? Probably. See, you're right. This does change the fundamental.
Is it the maturity of the physical specimen or the maturity of the mind?
Yeah. Right. And how long will it take us as a society to recognize the consciousness as a separate indicator than the small, you know, a body of somebody who hasn't had the experience yet? Like, that's a really tough call, you know?
Yeah, it's stuff like alcohol, voting, sex. I mean, all of these things could be really complicated considering, you know.
In one evening.
Can you apply this to my cat, too? Because I have, like, a 20-year-old cat, and she's not doing well. And I really wouldn't mind moving her little personality over
into a
different
body.
Cat. Because she's awesome, but...
That seems like the first step, right?
I think so.
Also, don't you think doctors could learn a lot if they could hop into our body for a minute and go, oh, yeah, you really are feeling pain.
Yeah,
down
that
the
really
lower.
Hurts.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Oh, you're not imagining it.
Right. Oh, that's more of a 7 out of 10 than 4.
Yeah, you're holding back, buddy.
I just thought you were making it up.
Get me the hell
you're
out of this
screwed.
Thing. This is terrible. you know what? You've embodied the spirit of forecast there, Brecky, with this question. That's exactly our favorite kind of question. So nice job on that. Look forward to that next time. Hey, let's do some calls or actually some feedback via email today. Got an email from Glenn who wrote in, said, hello, Tom. Hello, Scott. Welcome back, Current Geek. I know that 3D TV has been declared dead by the French, or at least by Patrick.
I declared it dead years ago.
I declared it dead the minute I heard about it.
Right.
I agree.
Wait, what's a 3D TV?
Yeah, it's exactly. I'd agree about the chunky attempt or clunky attempt at 3D from a few years ago, but did you get a chance to see the Ultra D TV at CES? I saw a demo of the glasses-free 3D TV last year, and wow, maybe not perfect, but impressive. The key feature for me, other than actually working without glasses, is adjustable depth. I found you need to dial it in depending on how far you are from the screen. If this was available as a consumer product, I'd say there's a great chance for 3D to really come home. Thanks, Glenn. It's essentially what the 3DS did for, you know, for a small handheld video game device, but it's the same idea, an adjustable screen that looks good without the glasses. And honestly, if nobody would be complaining if 3D just worked, if that was the way this worked, you didn't have to do anything special, no special glasses. It was just a thing your TV did and it's how it looked all the time and you had that effect. Nobody would complain. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Scott, I have a question. You have some significant eye issues, right?
I do. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Well, not so much now, but yeah.
How does 3D work for you? Like,
well, it used to not work at all. It used to be totally busted because my left eye had that cataract and it was a total mess and it wouldn't work at all. So going to a 3D movie was a complete waste of time for me. Now, two cataracts are out. If I'm doing 3D in my kind of desk range, I have perfect vision. And so if I had 3D at that range, no problem without glasses. And if I have to wear 3D glasses, great, because they're not going on top of another pair. But if I'm in a movie theater, I still have nearsightedness. So I'm even more locked in my nearsightedness. So I have to wear glasses for a movie. and I get 20/20 with those glasses, but that means I got to wear a clunky fat pair of, you know, fecal matter coke caked washed glasses at the movie theater on my face.
Not caked in fecal matter, and even if they are, it'll help build your resistance. Oh, okay.
That's right, right? No, but I mean, I ask in part because so I have bad stereoscopic sight, so I cannot. I was born with crossed eyes, and they have been fixed, but I can't do those, like, you know, those, like, look at the magic picture and something's gonna pop out.
Yeah,
I can't do that because my eyes don't speak to each other properly, which means 3D does not work for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if there's glasses or not glasses. It just does. Like, I've never understood. People are like reaching for things and I'm like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Like,
crazy people.
Well, see, this is the question. Like, Google Glass is part of this conundrum for me. If that's ever going to be a thing that's cool for me to use, they have to be prescription. I know they just announced that they intend to do that, but right. I can't see the other problem is I now have locked vision. So with these two cataracts out, I'm locked at that like 2 foot range. That's the most I can ever focus naturally. So because I've got fake silicone glass things in my eyes now. So for me to then adjust to another range, I can't do it. So even Google Glasses, I could only use them in very limited situations. So it's this thing where we want to move into the next era of portable wearable computing, but a bunch of us have medical or otherwise issues.
I guess that's my point, is that when we talk about 3D, it's not as simple as like an operating system. So much of the operating system is our brains and our eyes and how our mechanics are working. So will it ever work well enough?
Right.
But that's just saying, is the technology there, right? I mean, let's say for the sake of argument that they could make a 3D that Kristen and Scott could see without any problem, would you want it still? Because I mean, all these objections are getting like, well, 3D requires glasses and people don't wear glasses. Oh, now it doesn't require glasses. Well, it doesn't require glasses, but the depth of field isn't right for me because the way my eyes are. Oh, well, now we fixed the depth of field. You know, like at some point they'll figure this out, and I don't know how long it'll take, but do we still want it?
I want brain implants.
I don't need George Stephanopoulos at me in 3D on Good Morning America.
No, you don't. No. Thank you for telling us what your morning video habits are, though. I like that. That's good. I guess for me, it's a leapfrog thing where this is all temporary. And what eventually happens is we have, it sounds crazy now and it's a little forecasty, but we have implants of some sort that are doing this stuff for us. So the brain impulses. Like you have. So it's not, I'm not limited by the visual acuity of the eyeballs I have. I'm just straight into the brain.
Into the optic nerve.
Yeah. Yeah. Why mess around with this in between crap? The analog thing. I want to go straight to the source.
You just download the memory of having watched something.
That's right. From your other robot lady that's hanging in the closet at Kristen's house.
Right.
There you go. No, I mean, you mentioned, think of what I could do with the robot lady.
See? Just think what your
my thoughts exactly.
Just think what your husband could do with a robot lady.
Think of what I wouldn't have to do if I had a robot lady.
I'm wondering when we get to that. That's great.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. If you think virtual reality makes you look goofy, Google Glass right up there. Sorry.
It is kind of up there. You're not wrong about that. All right. Well, I think that's it. That's our show. We have done it. By the way, if you want to send emails to that, to us to read or attachments to listen to, currentgeek@gmail.com is where you can do it. And a reminder that we do have we have currentgeek.reddit.com if you want to go there and use our Reddit page. It's great. It's awesome. It's a great subreddit. There's great articles there. And you can add some that we can talk about on the show. Please do that. In the meantime, I would like to thank our guest, Bricky. Tell people where they can find your fine work, sir.
SciCon.net. That's CSICON.net. We have a new podcast on Sunday called The Brainstorm, and then moving on Monday when we talk about the Philip Seymour Hoffman movie, Twister.
Oh, but really about Twister? You have a whole episode about Twister?
Yeah, on Monday.
I love that. Okay.
We did, in honor of the Olympics, we did Cool Runnings last Monday.
Nice.
John Candy.
Right.
Another fine actor gone before his time.
Yeah, he became the first person to break four movies in our history.
I love it. You guys like great movies over there. Let me just put it
we
that
do.
Way.
We really do.
You're not like the French with their weird taste. You guys have some class. Take that, Patrick. Kristen, where can people find you these days? I find you all the time, but you know.
Yeah, you can find me all the time. Manicmommies.com is probably the Place to Start, which is our podcast and blog for moms managing the chaotic combination of work and family.
Mm. And how's that going? Is it any less chaotic for you, or are you still chaotic?
How's that going for me? You know what? The kids are 11 and 8, and so they're a lot more self-sufficient, as you know, which is great.
Yep.
But things are busier than ever. I run an advertising agency, so that's become really busy, and my husband just had ACL surgery, so that the last couple of weeks, I hit a point last Friday where I was hyperventilating because I couldn't decide if I should cook dinner or order in. So I knew that wasn't a good point for me.
No, that isn't good. But
I wasn't in a good place. But I'm over it.
All right,
everything's fine.
At Manic Mommies on Twitter, right?
Yes.
All right, do it. And you guys are awesome. Thank you for being here, Tom. Anything else to round us out today?
Just don't forget about the Daily Tech News Show, a Frog Pants Studios family show.
Yes.
But not a family show.
No.
Although it's family friendly.
Sure.
At DailyTechNewsShow.com.
The family of shows.
Right.
A family of shows, and it is one of those. And it's doing great.
And our Patreon is up almost $7,000. So thanks to everybody who's been backing us.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, that reminds me. The morning stream, if you're interested in our morning show at all, which Tom is also a guest on Wednesdays. TMS Monday through Thursday with my fine co-host Brian Ibbett and myself. We did a Patreon page as well. You can actually find it at patreon.com/TMS if you'd like to support us there. I think that show's perfect for that sort of thing, and it's going to help us do a lot of stuff we've been wanting to for the 3-year span of that show. So very excited about that. I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you guys all for being here at Current Geek on Twitter. Great place to follow us. You can follow Tom at Ace Detect, me at Scott Johnson, currentgeek@gmail.com. is, of course, our email address. Find the website at currentgeek.com. Our subscription stuff is there. Big thanks to Andrew Allen for our theme music. We'll see you guys next time.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. The topic this week is whether defamation by libel is a threat to us on social media like Twitter. A number of libel lawsuits have been filed for social media defamation, but the first of these lawsuits to actually go to a trial finished last week. The subject of the lawsuit was Courtney Love, who had sent a tweet about her attorney claiming she had been bought off to undermine Love's legal disputes with Kurt Cobain's estate. This has become known as twibel in legal circles. Libel in the U.S. generally requires publication of a false statement about a particular person or business that seriously shames, ridicules, or injures that person's reputation. Additionally, the defendant must be at fault, which requires either negligence in making the statement about private figures or actual malice for public officials and celebrities. Love convinced the jury that the tweet was not libel, likely because she thought the allegations were true when she tweeted. But Courtney Love's victory does not mean the issue of twibel is no more. Expect the lawsuits to continue until some court is forced to determine if Twitter and other social media should be subject to the same libel rules as everywhere else. If so, we all need to be careful about getting into Twitter spats in the future. Don't be the example that becomes the legal precedent for the rest of us. The bottom line is, twibel does exist, so treat people nicely, even when you're on Twitter and other social media. Thanks for listening. Old episodes can be found on healertrek.blogspot.com. You can contact me with show comments on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.